for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is the 2005 Thanksgiving Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campground in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas.
Friday afternoon, November the 25th, 2005. This is the ladies' small group deliverance and teaching being held upstairs in the meeting room at 1:15. The speaker of the afternoon is Patricia King, teaching on curses.
All right, praise the Lord. Well, that's basically what we're going to talk about today. Hallelujah. Amen. Lord, we just thank you for the opportunity to come together as your handmaidens today, Lord Jesus. Lord, we dedicate this time to you. We just declare Jesus Christ as Lord over this session today. And Lord God, I just thank you that you're going to open our eyes. You're going to give us each a little bit more understanding of how much you love us and how much you want us to be free. And Lord, we just believe. We believe, Lord Jesus, for deliverance to come in each of our lives as you want to do it, Lord. You are the deliverer. Lord, your word says, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. And you are that deliverer. And we declare you to be deliverer today. We declare you to be Lord. And we just thank you, Lord, for all that you have done, what you have done for us, Lord God. We just praise you for it. We praise you for it, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord, and we bless your name today, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Now, I'm going to tell you something, and it's the truth. The Lord gave me an illustration before Stan arrived. All right? Okay, now I only have one prop. I was tempted not to use this, but the Lord gave it to me, and I'm going to use it. First of all, I would like to say that we're going to talk about curses today, and I just want to get this out of the way. We're not here to sell books, but there have been a lot of things written that help us understand, and especially for those of you who may not have heard any messages on curses, may not have come into understanding about curses. But let me tell you, curses are real. Whether you believe it or not, curses are real. You know, we have a sign on our entrance out there. It says, Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, where Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, a camper came in not too long ago, and they said, I'm here to see if Jesus Christ is Lord, just like you're advertising. And I said, you know what? I said, Jesus Christ is Lord, whether he's on our billboard or not. Amen. Curses are real, whether you believe them or not. Now, as soon as you begin to believe that you may have curses in your life, then that's when God begins to open up and begins to bring forth. Now, he may do this sovereignly without you fully understanding, but I just wanted to tell you there's a few books down there for those of you who may be interested. A lot of us have already read these, and I think probably could testify. Derek Prince, Blessing or Curse, you can choose. Steve Bell has a wonderful little booklet called Breaking Free. And it lists 70-some curses that are in the Bible. And it's a wonderful little tool to help you begin to study. The best way is to get into the concordance and look up the word curse, cursing, cursed, curseth, and begin to let the Lord bring understanding to you through his word. But this is a quick fix. He's, you know, why reinvent the wheel, so to speak? If you're limited for time, this is a wonderful little tool. And the other thing that I'd like to recommend, anyone that was here for the ministers' conference this last month, Steve Coyle did an excellent, excellent teaching on breaking curses. And it's very concise, it's very specific, and it not only serves as a basic teaching, but for anyone who has already learned about curses, is learning about curses, it also takes you to that level. And my theory, my philosophy, if you want to say that, why do we teach about curses? Why do we want to know about curses? because in Deuteronomy 28, if you'll turn that, we're just going to get right into the Word. There's a lot of scriptures we're going to look at today. And so bear with me. The Bible says if we continue in the Word, what? We'll know the truth, and the truth will set us free. All right? Let's look at Deuteronomy 28. Chapter 28, verse 1. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon thee, and overtake thee, if thou shalt will hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way, and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command a blessing upon thee in thy storehouses, and in all that thou settest thy hand to do unto. And he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee a holy people unto himself, as he hath sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, and walk in his ways. And all people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of the ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven, to give the rain, into the land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And the Lord shall make thee the head, and not the tail. And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. If that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them, and thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. This is why we have a passion, why God has put a passion within us to be delivered of curses. Now, anyone that is in this room that can say 100% that they are living in these blessings, you probably don't need to be in here. If all of these blessings, I'm not talking about by faith. By faith, yes, all of these blessings are resident. They're available to us. But in reality, in walking it out in shoe leather, in being conformed and transformed into his image, if these blessings are all a part of your nature, if you are so one with him and he is so one with you, that these blessings that in chapter or verse 7, it says, the Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. If all of your enemies are fleeing before you, and you see them all being smitten before you, then you probably don't need to be in this room. I'm not there yet. So I continue to pursue getting free from curses. We come out of the womb in a cage, in a trap. Here's my illustration, okay? Now, this is downstairs. It's hanging in our antique unit, okay? And I, Lord willing, I'm not going to make this thing work is what I'm not going to do. All right. Well, anyway, this thing, when it's open, it's like this, all right? It opens up, and whenever the prey gets near it, this thing snaps shut and captures the prey. All right, now we come out of the womb in a trap. Every one of us. We're all. Brother Stan said it last night in so many words. You don't have to teach children to be bad. You have to teach them to be good. We are all born in sin. We are all born in the generation man where sin has compounded, and curses have come. And curses come from God. They come from God. They started in Genesis. You look back in Genesis where God first began to speak, where it's recorded anyway. The first time the word curse is recorded is in Genesis chapter 3. You don't have to turn there, but he first cursed the serpent in 3:14. He says, "And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all the cattle," and yada, yada, yada. Then he goes on to put a curse on Eve. Then he goes on to put a curse on Adam. Now, I liken it to being grounded, okay, as a kid. You're disobedient. Curses come because of our disobedience. That's bottom line, black and white, plain and simple. There ain't no gray area here, okay? It's disobedience. And as a child, you disobey what your parents have told you to do, all right? They levy a ground. You have been restricted. You have been cut off from some kind of activity. You've been cut off. All right, now, if you follow and obey and do what was required of you during this grounding process and this grounding time frame, then your parents are the ones that lift the ground. All right, now, we, because of our disobedience, God puts the curse on us, and you say that's not fair. Well, you know, that's God's business. That's not my business. Our business is to seek the face of God and begin to come out from under some of this oppression, come out of these traps that we have been born with that are driving us. You know, many of us are, even after you come to the Lord, you're fighting unseen barriers and boundaries, things that you can see, almost see on the other side, and you don't know what it is that's stopping you, that's what's blocking you. And 9 times out of 10, that's going to be a curse. Let's look at the way of escape, all right? And we know that to be Jesus. And this goes back to this. Oh, I know what it was. Yeah, let's go ahead and read Psalms 124. And Cheryl said something last night that's so very, very true. And it's what I appreciate about Cheryl the most in many ways. And that is, you know, no one has arrived yet. And we all are, we should be of the mentality that if God wants to deliver me today of one of the things that we're going to talk about, I welcome it. I welcome it. I ask for it. Because as you get free of curses and you begin to see the results, the consequences, the fruit that bears as a result of these curses being broken, it causes you to hunger for so much more. Ada is so hungry for more of God, and she knows the value of what curses in her life have the oppression and the bondage. All of us have. And so we're going to look for just a second here at Psalms 124, verse 7. Let's read the whole chapter. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they had swallowed us up quick when their wrath was kindled against us. Then the waters had overwhelmed us. The stream had gone over our soul. Then the proud waters had gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord who hath not given us as a prey to their teeth. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowler. The snare is broken, and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord. Jesus is our help for this snare to be broken. All right? That's the only way. We can't do it in our own flesh. We get He sets us free. Then we have to walk in obedience. Now, there are some people here today who are and have been, I presume that there are, standing in the gap for a family member, someone whom you have been praying for and praying for and praying for. And God has put it on your heart. God has given you a vision, so to speak. He's given you a promise, of what that person can be like and what his purposes are for that person. And I encourage you not to give up, because he hasn't given up on them. You're not to give up on them. And continue to pursue after the bloodline curses that are over that family, because I'm telling you, we haven't seen anything yet.
Amen.
We haven't seen anything yet. Bible says if any man be in Christ, old things are passed away. Behold, I make all things new. That word old there, that word old, means that which was from the beginning. Folks, I encourage you to seek after getting free from curses. We're going to look at we're going to read quite a few curses, but I want to say something else about this snare and this trap. Now, when Glenn was showing me how to use this, which obviously I failed the test, because maybe it's the grace of God that I don't lose a finger, but he said when a critter gets in this thing, the only way they get out of this thing on their own volition is to chew their leg off. To chew off what part is in there. The rest of them goes away maimed and crippled, but they're alive. The other option is they lay in there and they die. Now, some of the curses that God speaks about are not curses. They're curses that we will be maimed by, will be crippled by, but they're not necessarily going to bring death. However, the wages of sin is death. All right. And we're talking about curses here, and we're talking also in Galatians. Let's look at Galatians real quick, just so that anyone that says, well, that's all Old Testament, and it's all one book around here. But in Galatians 3:13, we're going to read a scripture that everyone is familiar with. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. And we're going to look at some of the curses of the law in here today. All right? But Jesus came to save the whole world, right? But until we apply and appropriate it for our own lives, we're not saved. It's like an estate in waiting. Until you tap in and reach in and ask God to begin to do what he has done for you, begin to receive it, you're not saved. All right? So Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. So Jesus is the one who's set us free. All right? He's the one that's getting our soul escaped. All right? Mind, will, emotions, the whole kit and caboodle. All right. We haven't camped on that way up the mountain at Deliverance. All right? Lake Hamilton Bible Camp represents the ministry of Jesus as Deliverance. But we believe in going on. All right? We believe that Deliverance is a means to get there. Some people are so bound, they are so bound that without Deliverance, they can't even begin to believe for themselves. And as you get freer yourself, as I get freer myself, it's not about us. It's not about us. It's about the kingdom of God coming forth in our lives so that we can be vessels to set other people free. All right? So that they can come into the fullness of Jesus. If any man be in Christ, okay? So I just wanted to say that the reason we do so much deliverance here is because, unfortunately, and it's gotten better, but unfortunately there are places out there where they know to do deliverance, and for one reason or another, they're not doing it. And people know that they can come here, they can be taught about deliverance, they can be ministered deliverance, and they can go back and they can walk in what they've received. Okay? So we believe in a balance. We don't believe that Jesus just cast out devils.
That's right.
All right?
That's right.
But he did cast out devils.
Yeah.
All right? Let's look at Exodus chapter 21. Today we're going to look at, remember I said there are some curses that just leave you maimed and crippled? There are some curses that bring death. All right? We're going to look at some of those curses today, and then we're going to have a session. We're going to pray. And I just really ask the Lord to help all of us understand. You know, the first scripture we're going to look at deals with murder. Now, murder we understand murder. It's the taking of another one's life. But as these curses have taken on a life of their own, just like Brother Stan was talking about last night, how sin takes on its own characteristics. You get impregnated with it, and it becomes a living thing in there. And these things take on lives of their own, and they become, their fruit takes on new names. They come, there's fashions of things that come down the line. And I'll use this as a quick example. Years and years ago, my sister-in-law was here. This was before Kevin and I were married. And she was here for the summer. And before she left, Irma, who was Glenn's wife who passed away, she had a prayer session with Cindy. And she began to pray for Cindy, and Irma says, I am discerning a spirit of, I wasn't there, but I'm paraphrasing it, okay? I'm discerning a spirit of forgery. Well, my sister-in-law had worked in retail. She had handled money, but she had never willingly or willfully or even thought about forgery. But she went ahead and let Irma pray because she knew that Irma had the gift of discernment. And so she went ahead and prayed, and Irma bound that thing and cast it out. Well, when my sister-in-law went back home to Sacramento, she told her mother, she said, it was very strange. Irma discerned this spirit of forgery on me. And her mother said, well, I've never told you and Kevin about this. But she says, your grandfather on your father's side was a part of a counterfeiting ring in Canada. And she says, there's never been a need for you children to know about that. But you see what I'm saying? I use that as an example. Counterfeiting, down the generation man became forgery. Murder, in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, if you hate your brother, you're the same as a murderer. All right? So we want to be open to the Lord showing us the fruit of some of these curses that may not be what it's called in the Old Testament.
Uh-huh.
But the children and the grandchildren and the great-grandchildren that have been born, the names have changed, but the root is still being dealt with. And I think we're going to look at a few things here to kind of see why maybe some of the things that we're still fighting and dealing with in our lives and in our families' lives are still a result of some of the curses that are upon us. But Jesus has come to set the captives free. Exodus 21:12. He that smiteth a man so that he die shall surely be put to death. Murder brings a death curse, a death sentence. The sin of murder brings a death sentence. Exodus 21:15. Now this is, we're gonna go down through some scriptures here. Exodus 21:15. And he that smiteth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. Have you ever seen a child hitting at their mother? Hitting at their dad, striking them, I hate you, throwing a tantrum, that's what that is right there. And we, once you come into that understanding, when you see that going on, ask God to give you the wisdom to be able to explain to that parent what's happening here. This child is coming under a curse by doing this. You wonder today, we'll have a time for questions later on, okay? We wonder today why there is so much disrespect, dishonoring of parents. I declare that I believe that part of that is still coming down from these curses,
mm-hmm.
these sins that have been committed in our generation. Man, we just read over this stuff and say, that was Old Testament, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you something. It behooves us to take these one by one and deal with them. Exodus 21:16, and he that stealeth a man and selleth him, or if he be found in his hand, he shall surely be put to death. Kidnapping, human trafficking. That's what this is talking about, all right? Exodus 21:17. And he that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. This is serious stuff. You know, I didn't go on and read in Deuteronomy 28, the curses. But God wants us to be blessed. He wants his blessings to be manifested in our lives. He wants people to look at us and see him. Amen?
Amen?
And as these curses are broken and drop off of us, and as these spirits leave us, then he, his blessings, begin to come forth. And that's what people see. In verse 21:22, chapter 21:22, if men strive and hurt a woman with child so that her fruit depart from her, and yet no mischief follows, He shall surely be punished, according as the woman's husband will lay upon him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. And if any mischief follow, then thou shalt give life for life. So, causing the unborn child to die brings a curse of death. We're still dealing with sins that bring a death curse. Exodus 21:29. But if the... Actually, let's start with 28. If an ox gore a man or a woman that they die, then the ox shall surely be stoned, and his flesh shall not be eaten, but the owner of the ox shall be quit. But if the ox were wont to push with his horn in time past, and it hath been testified to his owner, and he hath not kept him in, but that he hath killed a man or a woman, the ox shall be stoned, and his owner also shall be put to death. Now, when I read this scripture, I think of the pit bulls and the dogs that are bred to kill. That's what I think about. You know, it's come down the line, and so anyway, it's just something to throw out there. Exodus 22:18, and this really doesn't give any negotiation at all. Thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. Witchcraft brings death, destruction, whether it's in the physical, whether it's in the spiritual, whether it's in the whatever. Witchcraft, run from it. Get delivered, get the curses broken, and stay far away from it, okay? Exodus 22:19. Whosoever lieth with a beast shall surely be put to death. Years ago, we had a gentleman here that had some problems with that. And believe it or not, it's more real than what most of us would like to believe, all right? Enough said on that. Exodus 22:20. He that sacrificed unto any god, save unto the Lord, only he shall be utterly destroyed. So, sacrificing to other gods brings a death curse. Exodus 22:22-24. Ye shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. If thou afflict them in any wise, and they cry at all unto me, I will surely hear their cry. And my wrath shall wax hot, and I will kill you with the sword, and your wives shall be widows, and your children fatherless. It behooves us to be careful how we deal with widows and fatherless children, orphans. God considers them very dear to his heart, and there's a severe penalty for abusing them. Exodus 31:14. Ye shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy unto you. Everyone that defileth it shall surely be put to death. For whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. That's also found in Numbers. Leviticus 20, and this is not by any means an exhaustive list. These are just the ones that I put together for today. Leviticus 20 and verse 2. Again thou shalt say to the children of Israel, whosoever he be of the children of Israel or of the strangers that sojourn in Israel, that giveth any of his seed unto Molech, he shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones. Offering, now, this was a god that they would give their children to, and they would burn them. And I don't know, you know, I don't know. I think of abortion today. I don't know if that is a direct result of that. But certainly giving our children up to abortion is you're really giving your child up to sex gods, I mean, pleasure. There is a lot there, and so anyway. Leviticus 20 and verse 6. You know, you say, well, why are you reading all these scriptures? Well, you know, if you look in the New Testament, and Jesus taught, it says, and Jesus taught, my goodness, it goes on and on and on for several chapters, and it was scripture, okay? So the scripture is the truth. It's the truth that sets us free. Leviticus 20 and verse 6. And the soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits and after wizards to go whoring after them, I will even set my face against that soul and will cut him off from among his people. Now, anyone that wants to understand more about familiar spirits and wizardry and the occult, we have a lot of stuff down there that different ministers have ministered on. I am not going to go into all of that today. But I think all you have to do is turn the television on today and see the amount of witchcraft. And I'm not talking about Harry Potter. I'm talking about just commercials, regular network television. It's rampant. It's rampant. And it's bringing death to our society. Leviticus 20 and verse 13. If a man also lie with mankind, as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination, they shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. This is, clearly speaks of homosexuality and lesbianism. Leviticus 20 and verse 18. And if a man shall lie with a woman having her sickness, which is her period, and shall uncover her nakedness, he hath discovered her fountain, and she hath uncovered the fountain of her blood, and both of them shall be cut off from among their people. God says clearly that we're not to have sex during our menstrual periods. And it brought a curse of death. Now, it may come through physical disease. It may come however it comes. But he says not to do it. And remember, it's disobedience that brings the curse. Now, we may know that we're not supposed to do that. But today we're going to pray and we're going to lift up the sins of our forefathers. And we're going to ask God to deliver us. We're not done yet, though, just a second. Well, Leviticus 20:27 goes on with wizards and familiar spirits again. Leviticus 24 and 15, 15 and 16, and thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, whosoever curses his God shall bear his sin, and he that blasphemeth the name of the Lord, he shall surely be put to death, and all the congregation shall certainly stone him, as well the stranger, as he that is born in the land, when he blasphemeth the name of the Lord, shall he be put to death. There's a death curse on blaspheming God. When Kevin and I left here for a few years and we went to Sacramento, and we went to work in the workforce, the marketplace, as Cheryl calls it. We had not been in the marketplace for a number of years. Now, we are not sheltered here, okay? Don't presume that we live a sheltered life here. But let me tell you, the amount of spiritual warfare that we deal with, I was astounded at the obscenities in the workplace. And what I was more astounded by was that the women were 10 times worse than the men. And it was very grievous. The mouths and the filth that came out of women's mouths in the workplace, in an office, in a professional setting. A woman could be vile. Her phone would ring and she put on the professional voice. You would never know. But anyway, okay. Moving along here. Deuteronomy 13. And I'm not judging, believe me, I'm not judging. I've been known, sometimes I slip up. All right, 13, verse 1. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams. You know, one thing about deliverance is you have to be real. The enemy's telling me, now here you just told those women that sometimes you slip up and blaspheme. I don't blaspheme, but sometimes something comes out of my mouth that shouldn't be there. All right? But you know what? We got to confess our faults one to another. We got to pray one for another, okay? All right. And the enemy wants to keep these things concealed.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he does.
Amen. The word occult means to hide or conceal. Bind the powers of the occult in your life, in your family, and loose the truth to come forth.
Yes.
All right, Deuteronomy 13, verse 1. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. That's what Eve did. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. And you shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and you shall serve him and cleave unto him. And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death. Because he hath spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to thrust thee out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in. So shalt thou put the evil away from the midst of thee. And in verse 19 of that same chapter, But you know, Glenn and Doc were talking last night about the importance of of the safety net here of having someone, if there's a word to be given, to have it be given into those within the hearing of those whom God has appointed in leadership here. It's for your protection. And we see here the false prophet and the dreamer of dreams that wants to lead people astray. This brings the death curse. All right? So it's they're not just up there to hear themselves talk. Okay? There's reasons behind some of this stuff. All right? That's also reflected in Deuteronomy 18, but we're not going to go there. We're going to stay in 13 for just a minute and look at verse 6. If thy brother, the son of thy mother, or thy son, or thy daughter, or thy wife, of thy bosom, or thy friend, which is as thine own soul, entice thee secretly, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which thou hast not known, thou nor thy fathers. Now here we've got a family member, someone very dear to us, who is enticing us to go and do things that we both know we shouldn't be doing. In verse 7, namely, of the gods of the people which are round about you, nigh unto thee, or far off from thee, from the one end of the earth, even unto the other end of the earth. Thou shalt not consent unto him, nor hearken unto him, neither shall thine eye pity him, neither shalt thou spare, neither shalt thou conceal him. But thou shalt surely kill him. Thine hand shall be first upon him to put him to death, and afterward the hand of all the people. And thou shalt stone him with stones that he die, because he hath sought to thrust thee away from the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. And all Israel shall hear and fear, and shall do no more any such wickedness as this is among you. You know, we're not blatantly asking family members to go and serve other gods. But think about, what are some of the things that might happen in a situation that would start to lead people away? Anytime you sense in your gut, I know we don't go by feelings, we go by what the Word of God says. But when God gives us a knower, and when you sense that there's not something right about this, then you best, until it's proven that it is right, err on the side of caution. And beware, it doesn't matter, you know, Brother Rosario, when he was here, he made a comment that is very true. He said, you know, we try the spirits to see whether they be of God. You don't relax in that command just because you have tried the spirit and that is of God in this person. You should be trying the spirit right now today in me. You should be. It's your duty. It's your obligation. And just because you have tried the spirit in me today and found it to be true, like Brother Rosario said, how do you know tomorrow morning when I wake up, I haven't gotten into something that ain't right? But you've relaxed yourself. You've already proven yourself to be of God. You can believe everything that person says. No. It says, if it be possible. That's right. That's right. So, if you have a friend, if you have a family member, if there's something that they're asking you to do, and you love them, and you want to be with them, and you want to support them, I'm not being religious here, and I'm not being legalistic here, but if what they're wanting you to do is a path to lead you away from God, then run, like Ronnie says, run, Forrest, run, the other direction. All right. Deuteronomy 17, verse 2. If there be found among you within any of the gates which the Lord thy God giveth thee, man or woman, that hath wrought wickedness in the sight of the Lord thy God in transgressing his covenant, and hath gone and served other gods, and worshipped them, either the sun or the moon or any of the host of heaven, which I have not commanded, and it be told thee that thou hast heard of it, and inquired diligently, and behold, it be true, and the thing certain, that such abomination is wrought in Israel, then shalt thou bring forth that man or that woman which hath committed that wicked thing unto thy gates, even that man or that woman, and shall stone them with stones till they die. So following after horoscopes and inquiring of that kind of thing brings a death curse, and you may not be doing it yourself, but today, remember, we're going to pray about some of the things that we were born in, okay? The traps. The traps that we came out of the womb with, all right? You know, there's a trigger on that trap, and the animal, the critter, has to get just close enough to that trigger to make that thing go. Okay, we have curses that we were born with, all right? Now, Satan has just a complex plan for your life as God does, all right? And he is going to, rest assured, he is going to try and position you in life, getting you close to those triggers that there's already a weakness in your bloodline. There's already a weakness there because of the curses. And he sets you up and gets you close to that trigger, and you're in that. And then we had Brother Stan last night showing us a whole lot of good stuff about what happens when those things start working. So we wanna deal with what's gone down, not like Brother Coyle says on those CDs. We want to go up the generation man, and we want to go down the generation man. Because we have had things visited upon us, but those who have children then have become a conduit. They've become the vessel for those things to go down the generation man. This is not overwhelming. There is victory in this. I don't want anybody to think, it's a hopeless situation. It is not a hopeless situation. My soul's escaped like a bird out of the snare of the fowler. The snare is broken and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord. As we apply it, as we appropriate it. Okay? We're coming close to the end of this and then we're going to pray. We've already talked about wizards, familiar spirits, homosexualities. Deuteronomy 17 and verse 12. The man that will do presumptuously and will not hearken unto the priest that standeth to minister there before the Lord thy God or unto the judge, even that man shall die, and thou shalt put away the evil from Israel. And all the people shall hear and fear and do no more presumptuously. And we wonder why children won't listen to the pastor. We wonder why kids are rebellious towards the things of God. This curse is operating in our lives. We have had ancestors. We have had those who have gone before us who have not hearkened under the priest, under the pastor. That is Deuteronomy 17:12. Then Deuteronomy 21, verse 18, if a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him will not hearken unto them, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him out unto the elders of his city and unto the gate of this place. And they shall say unto the elders of his city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. And all the men of his city shall stone him with stones that he dies. So shalt thou put evil away from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. Verse 22 and 23 takes us back a bit to Galatians 3:13, where it says, and if a man have committed a sin worthy of death, and he be to be put to death, and thou hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain all night upon the tree. And then it goes on. But that here we're talking again about Jesus hanging on the tree for us. He's the one. The provision for these curses to be broken. But see, here we're dealing with stubbornness. We're dealing with rebellion. We're dealing with drunkenness. And we're dealing with gluttony. And all of these sins bring a death curse. Deuteronomy 22, verse 13. If any man take a wife and go in unto her and hate her and give occasion of speech against her and bring up an evil name upon her and say, I took this woman, and when I came to her, I found her not a maid. Then shall the father of the damsel and her mother take and bring forth the tokens of the damsel's virginity unto the elders of the city. And the damsel's father shall say unto the elders, I gave my daughter unto this man to wife, and he hateth her. And lo, he hath given occasion of speech against her, saying, I found not thy daughter a maid, and yet these are the tokens of my daughter's virginity. And they shall spread the cloth before the elders of the city. And the elders of that city shall take that man and chastise him. And they will This is speaking of infidelity. It's actually speaking about deceit, about virginity, and they're going to kill the man. Now, Doc talks about how in those days they would, after a man and woman were joined together and they went in unto the tent, then there would be a sheet that would be hung outside of the tent for all to see, because it would demonstrate the woman's virginity and how the blood was on the sheet. Now, I haven't studied that out, but I know that Doc is very intense on looking at those kinds of things. So we've got deceit. Let's see. Deuteronomy 22:22 says, if a man be found lying with a woman married to a husband, then they shall both of them die. And I don't think it's talking about her husband here. I think it's talking about somebody else's husband. Then shall both of them die, both the man that lay with the woman and the woman. So shalt thou be put away. Put away evil from the adultery brings the death curse. Deuteronomy 22:25. That would be, if a man find a betrothed damsel in the field, and the man force her and lie with her, then the man only that lay with her shall die. We're talking about rape here, but we learned last night, we bind that rapist, don't we? We bind that sucker. Amen. But anyway, there's a death curse that comes to the rapist, to the man. Isaiah 65:11. Deuteronomy 22:25 was the last one. Isaiah 65:11, 11 through 15. But ye are they that forsake the Lord, that forgot my holy mountain, that prepare a table for that troop, and that furnish the drink offering unto that number. Therefore will I number you to the sword, and you shall all bow down to the slaughter. Because when I called, you did not answer. When I spake, you did not hear. But did evil before mine eyes, and did choose that wherein I delighted not. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, my servant shall eat, but you shall be hungry. Behold, my servant shall drink, but you shall be thirsty. Behold, my servant shall rejoice, but you shall be ashamed. Behold, my servant shall sing for joy of heart, but you shall cry for sorrow of heart, and shall howl for a vexation of spirit, and you shall leave your name for a curse unto my chosen. For the Lord shall slay thee, and call his servants by another name. Now here it's referring to those who choose to do things that God doesn't delight in. Well, that's a pretty broad spectrum of stuff. So we're going to pray about that one too, okay? Because we don't know what our ancestors done, and there's sure a lot of things that I've done, I'm sure, that God doesn't delight in. Thankfully, he has blood for us to repent. We can repent and cover that up, but Jesus. I worked in a nursing home when I was in high school, and it was pitiful. You would hear some of the elderly people that, it reminds me where it says, they shall howl for vexation of spirit. And you would hear them howling. And you knew that their spirit, they were just tormented. And they were beyond, they were just very demonized and tormented. And so many times the family would never come to visit them because it hurt them so hard. You know, it was so difficult. And then some of them had no family, but it's a very difficult. I admire anyone that can work in a nursing home and maintain joy and an attitude of victory and love. You know, when I said earlier today that there's some people in here that are really standing in the gap for loved ones and for those whom God has put on your heart. A lot of times it's children, sometimes it's parents, sometimes it's husbands, wives, whatever. You know, we say around here God works at both ends of the stick. He's working at that end, but he's also working on you and on me. And he's using those situations to bring forth his character and his nature in you. The fruit, the riches, his long-suffering. Long-suffering means putting up with a problem for a very long time. And God is very, very long-suffering towards each of us. And he wants that part of his nature in us. But how else does that nature get in us? Unless it gets worked in. It's like Brother Don said, ground. God grinds us. He grinds us and grinds us and gets us to that place where his nature comes forth. And sometimes, you know, You know, the Calvary covers it all. It covers it all. But there's no substitution for the ways of God. You cannot crucify a demon. No matter how hard you try, it has to be cast out. Conversely, you cannot cast out the flesh. It has to go through the crucifixion process. It has to go through the death, the dying. And we can't do it in the flesh. Oftentimes, the religious spirits in us make us want to, oh, I'm dying to self. Oh, I'm dying to self. Oh, not my will, but thine be done, oh God. You know, yes, that's the prayer. We want that. But we want, it's Jesus. It's Jesus in us that's bringing us to that place. Because anything else is the filthy rags that he was talking about today. Anything else is self. And self is what has to die. And we can't crucify ourselves. Jesus had other people come and put him on the cross. It takes those around us. It takes people that God has put in our lives to take us through that crucifixion process. All right? Jeremiah 20. We got two more scriptures and then we're going to pray. Hallelujah. Jeremiah 28:16. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will cast thee from off the face of the earth. This year thou shalt die, because thou hast taught rebellion against the Lord. And that's a sad thing. We pray for children, even in the summer camp, when their parents aren't saved, and it's a miracle that they even let their child come. But they're God-haters, and oftentimes it's the child that God uses to bring them to him. But these parents who are teaching rebellion against God, God holds them accountable for that. And it's a death. It's in the Old Testament, it brought a death curse. And the last one is Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou hast given him not warning, nor speak it to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, then the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Amen. I think that's pretty self-explanatory. That was, yes, it to me. You know, we endeavor to minister a living word. Jesus, when the devil confronted him after the fast, the 40-day fast, Jesus said, it is written. That's how he stood against the enemy, with it is written. But Jesus is the living word, all right? He is the living word. And the enemy used the word to Jesus, but the enemy uses the word to minister death. He uses the word to deceive. He uses the word to challenge God's authority, to mock God. If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. And my heart's cry is that the living word is ministered so that we can, it brings life. We've had people who call and they say, I can't tell you how different I am. Deliverance is what I've been looking for all of my Christian life. I can see clearer. I can hear clearer. I can pray in dimensions that I haven't been able to pray. My prayer language has just exploded. I'm seeing the Bible like I've never seen it before. See, it's all about Jesus. It's all about getting to that place and allowing him to get in us like he wants to be, so that we can reflect his love, his mercy, his grace, all that he is, his nature. And curses keep us from doing that. They bind us. They trap us. They keep us in a cage that they keep you bound. And oftentimes, then we see and we feel, we know we want to do things, we know God's called us to different things, but the flesh wants to take over because we're bound and our souls are bound. And they need to be loosed. They need to be escaped. They need to escape, all right, so that God can come forth. Our help is in him. So we're going to pray today. And does anybody happen to know what time it is? I really don't have any idea. You have 35 minutes. Cheryl, I would like for you to help. I want Jane to help. Barbara, you can help. Ada, I'd like for you to help. And Debbie and Laura. Okay? And just if if you feel that the Lord is doing something in you, Cheryl, would you stand up? Barbara, would you stand up? Laura, Debbie, and Ada, would you please stand up? These ladies can pray with you. They can work with you. They know how to pray. They know how to break curses. I venture to say every one of them has had more than one curse probably broken off of their lives. And Jane can pray. All right? We're gonna pray. You can sit back down now. Now, when we come to Jesus, we ask Jesus to come in and be Lord of our lives. And today we're going to pray another prayer too. You know, it's a progress. I've asked God to come in and be Lord of my mind. I've asked Him to come in and be Lord of my will. I've asked Him to come in and be Lord of my affections. I've asked Him to come in and be Lord of my emotions, my family, my job, my marriage. It's a constant asking Him to become Lord. Today we're going to ask Him, if you feel to ask Him to become Lord of your bloodline, Lord of your generation man, Lord of your heritage and your descendants. All right? We're going to ask Him to come in and be Lord. And we're going to pray and we're going to go through some of this stuff. All right? Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank You. Yes, let's all pray. We thank You for Jesus. We thank You that our help is in the name of the Lord. We thank You that we have the assurance of knowing that Jesus hung on the tree that we might be free from the curse of the law. We also have that assurance that Jesus is no longer hanging on that tree. And that He is alive in our lives. And He is the deliverer. All right. I think probably we're gonna all just keep praying. And we're just going to go through this and then we're going to start breaking curses. Father, in the name of Jesus, I lift up the sins of my forefathers, those who have gone before me on both sides, my mother's side and my father's side. Lord, I ask for Your blood today to cleanse. I remit their sins. And today I'm going to repent of some of these things that we've talked about. And I ask You, Jesus, to deliver me, to break curses off of me, and to set my generation man free. I ask You to forgive my forefathers for their sins of murder, for their sins of striking mother and father,
for their sins of kidnapping,
cursing mother or father,
for any of my forefathers that have caused the unborn to die,
I ask You to forgive them. Lord, I ask You to forgive any of my forefathers,
Lord, I ask You to forgive any of my forefathers
who have knowingly had an animal that killed. I ask You to forgive my forefathers for all their sins of witchcraft, fortune-telling, following after other gods,
looking at horoscopes,
and that whole nest of sin that You consider an abomination. I ask You to forgive my forefathers of acts of bestiality, homosexuality, lesbianism, adultery, fornication, incest, and having sex while the wife or the woman is having her period.
And having sex while the woman is having her period.
I ask you to forgive my forefathers.
I ask you to forgive my forefathers.
For their sins of afflicting strangers.
For their sins of afflicting strangers.
Of afflicting widows.
Of afflicting widows.
And afflicting fatherless children.
And afflicting fatherless children.
I ask you to forgive them for working on the Sabbath.
I ask you to forgive them for working on the Sabbath.
For offering their seed to Moloch.
For offering their seed to Moloch.
For blaspheming the name of the Lord.
For blaspheming the name of the Lord.
I ask you to forgive those who have gone before me.
I ask you to forgive those who have gone before me.
Who have operated in the realm of being a false prophet.
Who have operated in the realm of being a false prophet.
An interpreter of dreams.
An interpreter of dreams.
That is not of your spirit.
That is not of your spirit.
I ask you to forgive those who have tried to turn others away from God.
I ask you to forgive those who have tried to turn others away from God.
For those who have been arrogant and not listened to their pastors.
For those who have been arrogant and not listened to their pastors.
For those who have been stubborn and rebellious.
For those who have been stubborn and rebellious.
Those who have been drunkards and gluttons.
Those who have been drunkards and gluttons.
Those who have gone into a marriage deceitfully saying that they were virgins when they weren't.
Those who have gone into a marriage deceitfully saying they were virgins when they were not.
I ask you to forgive any of my forefathers who have committed acts of rape.
I ask you to forgive any of my forefathers who have committed acts of rape.
For those who chose to do that which God did not delight in.
For those who chose to do those things that God did not delight in.
For those who taught rebellion against God.
For those who taught rebellion against God.
And for those who refused to warn the wicked.
For those who refused to warn the wicked.
Lord, I ask you to forgive me.
Lord, I ask you to forgive me.
For all of these things that we have confessed about our forefathers.
For all of these things that we have confessed about our forefathers.
I ask you to forgive me, Lord Jesus.
I ask you to forgive me, Lord Jesus.
For getting too close to some of the triggers. That have propelled me.
That have propelled me.
Into the traps.
Into the traps.
All right. Lord, I'm going to pray now. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for the authority in your word. I thank you for the authority in your name. I thank you for the authority that you have given in the cross. Lord, I thank you that you watch over your word to perform it. And Lord, today, we begin right now. I'm going to pray, and you guys we're going to all just start to enter into deliverance, okay? I break the curse right now. I break the curse in the name of Jesus of murder. I break the curse of murder off of these people. I break the curse of murder off of myself in the name of Jesus. Spirits of hatred that they're harboring in their hearts because of murder that has come down through the bloodline. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I cancel that assignment of death. I break the curse of death off of us. I break the curse right now of death off of us. In the name of Jesus, for all of these things that we have confessed today, right now we deal with the curse of death that is upon each and every one of us as a result of some of these sins and these curses that have come down through the family line. In Jesus' name, I break it. I cancel its assignment upon us. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, and I command the spirits of death, I command the spirits of death to begin to come out of these people. Come out of them in the name of Jesus. Spirits of death, come out in Jesus' name. Loose them and let them go. Loose them and let them go. Begin to cough them up. Spit them up. Work with God. Work with God. In Jesus' name, these things come in. We need to get them back out. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I break the powers of the enemy over us, spirits in us that have come in from children striking their parents through temper tantrums in the name of Jesus. I break the curse off of these women. I break it off of myself for the sins and the acts of striking parents. I break that chain. I break those cords of sin around us that keep us from respecting and honoring our parents. In the name of Jesus, I cut us loose from that. In the name of Jesus, I cut us loose from it. In the name of Jesus, I cancel the assignment. In the name of Jesus, I apply and I appropriate Jesus, the finished work of the cross, to this area. Those spirits in all of us that would be resident, that would dishonor parents, dishonor, discredit, blasphemy, curse parents, I break it off of us in the name of Jesus. I cancel it in the name of Jesus. I call your works to naught. I call your works to naught in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, in that spirit that would perpetuate itself down to the children and the grandchildren, disrespecting, in Jesus' name, mothers who have maligned the husband to the children, fathers who have maligned and discredited the mother to the children, in the name of Jesus, sowing discord between parents, in the name of Jesus, sowing discord, I cancel that, I break the curse of it, and I command the spirits to come out. The accuser of the brethren, I bind it and I break its power and its authority in Jesus' name. Come out of these people in the name of Jesus. Loose them and let them go. Loose them and let them go in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Step longer, right there. In the name of Jesus. 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 Come out of her. Come out of her in Jesus' name. Loose her and let her go. Loose her and let her go in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus, I break the curse of kidnapping and human trafficking. In Jesus' name, I break it off of these women. I break it off of me in the name of Jesus. I break it off of me in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I command spirits of kidnapping and human trafficking to come out of us. Things in us that would be intrigued with that kind of lifestyle. I break the dominion and the authority of it in Jesus' name. Loose them and let them go. Loose them and let them go in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, anyone who we break the curse of causing the unborn to die, in Jesus' name, we break that curse off of these women. I break it off of me in the name of Jesus. And right now, I command the spirits, I break the curse of abortion. I break it off of us in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, I break it off in the name of Jesus. I command every spirit of manslaughter to come out. Manslaughter to come out in the name of Jesus. Come out, manslaughter. Come out, manslaughter, in the name of Jesus. Come out, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Spiritual wickedness in high places. Come out. Come out. I break the curse of spiritual wickedness in high places. I break it off of us in the name of Jesus. Spiritual wickedness in high places. That has come in through rebellion against the pastors, rebellion against parents, rebellion against God. Depravity in our minds coming in. I break its authority and its dominion in Jesus' name. Loose these women. Loose them and let them go. Loose them and let them go. Loose them and let them go. Stubbornness. Stubbornness. I bind you, stubbornness. I bind you in the name of Jesus, and I command you to come out. Loose them. Loose them. Loose stubbornness. Come out, stubbornness. Come out, stubbornness, in the name of Jesus. Come out, stubbornness, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I will be as God. I will be as God. You're a devil. You're a liar, and the truth is not in you. You will come out in the name of Jesus. You will come out in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We cast down every imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. In Jesus' name. Come out. Come out. Come out, that lying devil, that spirit. I will be as God. You're a liar. You're a defeated foe. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. 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 We break the curse of afflicting strangers, afflicting the widows, afflicting orphans. We break that curse over us today in the name of Jesus. We apply the finished work of Calvary. Jesus became a curse. He hung on that tree that we do not have to live under this curse any longer. Hardness of heart towards widows, hardness of heart towards orphans, hardness of heart towards strangers. Come out, come out, come out, come out in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, you things that have been there from the beginning, in the name of Jesus, all things are passed away. We declare all things have become new. In the name of Jesus, you're defeated. You're defeated in Jesus' name. Be quarter of our son, serpent, I command all the old serpents, serpents to unwind, old serpent that's spoken of in Revelation, I command you to unwrap yourself in the name of Jesus. Loose us and let us go. We break the curse of it in the name of Jesus. We break the curse of it in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Break the curse of having sex during a menstrual period. I break the curse of it in the name of Jesus. I break the curse of it off of us in Jesus' name. And I command every spirit that came in to that disobedient act, I command every spirit to come out of our female organs. In the name of Jesus, come out of us in the name of Jesus. Loose us and let us go. Loose us and let us go in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. You spirits that will cause hysterectomy. You spirits that cause ovarian cancer. I bind you in the name of Jesus. I bind you. You're defeated in the name of Jesus. Loose us and let us go. Loose us and let us go. Loose us and let us go. In Jesus' name, he boro sota la baka, sanda la ba, roho ra la ba, sita la ba ko, kuri ba sito ba ba, sanda la ba ka, handa la ba, kuri ra ba sita la ba ko, horo anda la ba. In the name of Jesus, I break the curse of the devil. I break the curse of the devil. In Jesus' name, spiritual adultery, spiritual adultery, going to whoring after other gods, break it off. Jesus, I bind the gravity in this heart. I bind the gravity in this heart. In the name of Jesus, you mind binding spirit, mind binding spirit, I bind you. Come in. I break the curse of the occult. I break the curse of the fortune teller. I break the curse of the wizard. I break the curse in the name of Jesus. Who's going to let it go? Who's going to let it go?
Thank you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.